Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Brought to you by Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevy Dealers, Chevy Drives, Chicago.com. Morning, Hamp. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen, and like everyone else, we're sitting on the edge of our seat waiting for some pretty good games this weekend, and you know, the one thing that keeps coming back to me time and time again, we're going to watch the NFC Championship game with a coach, Bruce Arians, we could have, should have had, and maybe the coach on the other side, Ron Rivera, we did have for a while.
How about that? I hadn't even thought about that. Both those guys could have been here.
Mm. Yeah, and what's so ironic, and real quickly, you know, Lovey was ousted in basically a coup attempt. His offensive coordinator was able to maneuver things to where, you know, Lovey was relieved of his duties and he was able to take over, just like Lovey was scared of Ron Rivera being able to do 10 years prior. So it was really weird how that happened.
It'd be football karma, I guess, if you believe in such a thing.
Yeah, what goes around comes around, and in football it comes around a lot harder.
No doubt about it. All right, Patriots-Broncos. There was a Sunday night game maybe a month ago where Bob Costas did one of his overwrought, highly sensitive essays at halftime about how he missed out on the final opportunity at a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady last hurrah, a last waltz, if you will. Well, we get one this week, but the obvious question, Hamp, is what shape is Peyton Manning in, and if there was a better backup, would he even be on the field?
Those are really, really good points. Here's the way I look at it, and you know, after many seasons, dies the swan, and you knew it was coming, and it, you know, Peyton Manning has really. His body's just falling apart. He can't put any zip on the ball, and that's a big problem in the NFL, especially against a coach like Bill Belichick and his defense. So, you know, it's very interesting. What is this? The 17th time they've met. I think Peyton Manning is 2-2 versus Tom Brady in the playoffs. So, in that respect, he's held his own. But in this matchup, as you said, I mean, this is not the Peyton Manning of 2 years, 4 or 5 years ago by any means. He has issues. And, you know, in a tip of the cap last week, the Pittsburgh Steelers coach, Mike Tomlin, said, oh, you know, he's still a great signal caller. Now, what does that mean? He can't throw it. And
Omaha! Omaha!
Yeah. So, you know, I personally, you know how it goes at the end. You know, you shouldn't go quietly. And, you know, to his credit, he's been able to kind of claw his way back onto the field. But I don't think it's going to end pretty. And the Patriots seem to me like this whole, you know, Deflategate thing has really inspired them all year. They've got their weapons back. Julian Edelman was, you know, terrific last week. 10 catches, 100 yards. They got Gronk. Even though they're throwing the ball 80-90% of the time, it's going to be tough for Denver to get them slowed down.
Hamp, what about New England's defense? And you mentioned Belichick's defense facing Manning here. But Kansas City, they couldn't finish drives for the most part, but they did have some success against New England last week. And I believe the figure is around 50% opponents on third down against New England the last three games or so. So is there a reason there for the Patriots to be concerned, even with Manning maybe unable to put the kind of zip on the ball that he used to?
Well, and see, that's the thing. As you get closer to the end zone, the red zone, the windows and margins narrow, and you've got to be able to, you know, zip it in. Alex Smith was not able to do that. That's why they had to settle for field goals. It'll probably be very similar with Peyton. But the one thing that Denver has going for it is the fact that maybe the two best players on the New England defense may be out, and that's Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower, the two inside linebackers that really are terrific, stopping around and in those underneath coverages that you'll see Manning try to work. But like I said, against a guy like Belichick, and see, this is the thing about Buddy Ryan, and I learned this long ago. You know, the smartest coaches make you have to do things you don't want to do. So Belichick's going to compress the defense inside and make Peyton Manning, if there is any opportunities, it's going to be outside and deep where his arm strength is going to play against him. So, like I said, I just think, you know, everybody's got the tape. Everybody saw, you know, Peyton may have thrown two good passes during the game last week. It was enough. It was enough to beat a beat-up Pittsburgh team, but I don't know if it's going to be good enough against a really smart defense.
The Denver defense, really, really good. A couple of injuries there as well and some personnel problems off and on during the season, but really, really good. Are they good enough to keep them in the game?
Very interesting. You know, Vollmer, the big offensive tackle that missed the last 4 weeks of the season, is back. He's at left tackle. He will... he'll get the best player on their defense, which is DeMarcus Ware, the outside linebacker that's going to be rushing from Brady's blind side. If he's able to control him, you know, Von Miller's pretty good on the other side, but that defense kind of goes by how much pressure they can generate on the quarterback. They led the NFL with 52 sacks, and so that's what they hope to do. You know, traditionally, with Peyton Manning, they'd get a score, then you'd be in catch-up mode, and that's when they'd kind of kick it in. Well, if they fall behind, then you can really pound on that defense. New England doesn't really want to delude anybody and make you think they can run it. Maybe their best back right now is Steven Jackson, who's, what, 60 years old, and he only averaged like 2 yards a carry last week. But they don't, again... They're like, okay, we're not going to throw, run it, but stop us. And Tom Brady opened the game last week with 11 straight passes. So, like I said, it's one of those old things. You know, a defense is only as strong as its weakest link. An offense is as strong as its strongest link. And they know their strength is Tom Brady's arm, and they're not shy about showing it.
Prediction on a score for that one.
28-10, New England.
Dave Bennett?
I am going to take New England. I think it's going to be closer. I'm going to go 21-17.
For no reason whatsoever, other than the fact that it would entertain me, Broncos 17, Patriots 16.
Okay. Well, we're going to hold you to this one on Monday.
Yeah, I got nothing to back that up at all. We'll come back and talk about the other game, the game that's going to attract most Bears fans' interest, I would think, for not just being the NFC, but the reasons Hamp's also elucidated. Did you know you were elucidating there?
Oh, yeah. I get up at 5 a.m. every day and work on my elucidator.
Well, congratulations. It's 7:46. Mary's back. Traffic trouble spots.
Cam is at that level now where, you know, he's brought his team back. He's been some shootouts in New Orleans and Seattle and has played extremely well in the fourth quarter.
Could you take Cam and put him into what Tom Brady does? Probably not. But could you take Tom and put him into what Cam does? Probably not. So I think, again, for what we do and how we use him, I think he fits us very, very well.
That's Arizona Cardinals coach Bruce Arians and Ron Rivera from Carolina Panthers. And are the Panthers finally going to get the response? You know, Ham, I'm not a big fan of the screaming modern-day athlete yapping about how we don't get any respect, but the Panthers really haven't. They haven't gotten any respect all year except from their core fans and people that have been paying attention, I think.
Pretty much. And, you know, it's easy to, in a large way, kind of overlook them till you get to that record, 15-1. I mean, 15-1 is, you know, it doesn't happen very often. You got to tip your cap to Ronnie Rivera, and that team's probably better than we give it credit for being. And a lot of it is the fact that, you know, hey, Cam Newton kind of eats up a lot of the limelight. You know, he's a star. And as you know, this is the first ever meeting between two Heisman Trophy quarterbacks. I guess we missed that Doug Flutie, Gino Toretta matchup a few years ago, but you know, I mean, he's the star of this team on offense. And this is in one way, it's a strength, but in another way, it's almost a detriment, because if he happens to have a bad game, I mean, the whole team could go sour. So, you know, a lot is on his shoulders, but a lot of what he does is, and as Bruce Arians said, hey, very few other quarterbacks can do it. You know, he's big, he's strong, he can throw the ball. And that read option run is the thing that really kind of wears defenses out. It breaks them down and starts making them play by the seat of their pants. And that'll be what they try to do. But the Arizona Cardinals get to see a quarterback very similar, not as big, but very similar, a guy that likes to get out of the pocket, make a lot of plays, that runs the read option twice a year in Russell Wilson. So I don't think they're going to be shocked by what Carolina tries to do. But, you know, you look at, you know, Olsen, Greg Olsen from, you know, the Bears years ago, he is the major force in the passing game. Ted Ginn has caught, I think, 15 touchdowns over the last 2 years, but he's an afterthought. They want to be able to run it with Jonathan Stewart. They want to dink and dunk you with Olsen, and then once in a while stand up and you know, throw a cheap and deep one. But it's all about Cam, and it'll be interesting to see if on this big stage he's ready to go to the Super Bowl.
Hamp, what sets him apart and as far as the quarterbacks who run the read option in the NFL and have had some success doing it? I mean, Kaepernick did for a while, but now we've seen what's happened in San Francisco. Russell Wilson obviously is a terrific player, but Newton beat him and beat the Seahawks twice this year. So other guys have kind of come and gone, but there's something different there with Cam Newton.
Well, look, the read option in a large sense is just like the thumb on a hand to the running game. It's there if you need it, but not in Carolina. It's almost like Cam prefers to keep it, and he wants to run. He's 6'6", 250. You know, he's got a package that nobody has ever really seen at that position. And he's not, and they don't coddle him, and they don't expect him to go down, and he runs. I mean, it's not like a 8 yards and get down kind of run. He wants to run the ball. So all those different things, it makes you play 11 on 11. Normally, you're playing Carson Palmer. He's not going to run, so it's 11 on 10. All right, he's going to throw it, but you've got 11 guys against their 10 guys that, you know, you got to match up. Well, it's 11 on 11, and it changes everything. So that's the thing. And again, you know, Russell Wilson does it, but he only really wants to run and will run when he has to, third quarter, fourth quarter, if they need him. It's like Cam, they open the game, first play, he'll run the read option and want to carry it, you know, himself. So it's a different mindset, and they're all, the offense of Mike Shula is almost where they don't get, you know, intimidated by you hurting the quarterback. He's so big and strong, they're like, you're not going to hurt him.
Luke Kuechly for the Carolina Panthers is one of the more exciting linebackers in the game. Larry Fitzgerald is one of the most exciting wideouts in the game. Are they going to see each other much on Sunday?
Yeah, and, you know, Larry had like 500 snaps this year. He caught 50 passes out of the slot, so he'll be in the slot. And so look for Luke Kuechly, who has a lot of skills very similar to Brian Urlacher, you know, a lot of range, a lot of instincts. Look for him to do a lot of, like, trying to take the inside away, a lot of underneath coverage for the Panthers. But they're very good. They've got two big defensive tackles that really made two plays early in the game last week that put Seattle in a 14-0 hole. You know, a kid named Short, and I think it's Lay Tule, Lele or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But I've watched them, and they're very good. And, you know, this Carolina team, and I'm not saying they're like the 85 Bears, but we were very good up the middle, you know, at center, at the running back, defensive tackle, middle. Same thing with them. They're very good up the middle. It's a very basic, strong football team, and they're not scared of matching up with anybody. So it's going to be one hell of a game.
Score for that one.
I don't know why. Arizona has really fascinated me this year, especially the way they are so aggressive on offense. It all comes down to Carson Palmer's index finger. He got it broke or bunched it up. They won't tell you what exactly, but if he's able to throw the ball somewhat effectively, I got to go with Arizona in this one. And I think it's going to be a moderately scored game, like 21-20. I just think Arizona, who has led the NFL in offense on road games and scoring on road games, they're not scared about going to Carolina. And remember, what was it, a year, two, 3 years ago, they had to go to Carolina and they played with their fourth string quarterback. Well, this time they get to go back with the real guy. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
What'd you get for a score? 21-20, is that what you said?
Yes.
20-20. All right, Dave.
Carolina 27, Arizona 21 in overtime.
Wow, look at you. At you.
And then Arizona, they just resigned from the NFL. They can't take that.
I got a late field goal for Carolina, 27-24. Hamp should be fun. We'll wrap it up and have a great weekend, buddy.
All righty. We'll see what we'll see. And, you know, and here's the one thing that everybody has to remember. You know, when Ron Rivera got to Carolina, I mean, that team was, you know, in shambles. You know, with a lot of good coaching and some good picks, boom. You know, won't be long. Maybe we'll be back in the playoffs soon.
All right. I like your optimism. Captain Optimism.
After all, it'll be 30 years ago Tuesday that the Bears won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and a lot of us are still confused why they played it on a Tuesday. That's the thing I don't understand.
I know. It's
strange. Couple of minutes, 4:08 on 720 WGN.